In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
I see you all here this morning. As a lot of you know, I have been in the practice of starting off my sermons with a joke. It's a nice way to kind of ease everybody in and kind of highlight whatever the message is that I'm about to give. But several weeks ago, I had a staff meeting. Several of my staff had an intervention of sorts. They told me my jokes are not funny. It stung a little bit. That's okay. They're kind of corny. They're groaners. So I decided that I'm not going to use any jokes ever again at the beginning of my sermons. April Fools, I'm going to start. I've got a special joke just for the staff this morning. There is a Sunday school teacher who was walking around observing her classroom on Sunday after Easter, and observing her classroom of children while they were drawing pictures. As she got to a little girl who was working very diligently on her drawing, she asked the girl what she was drawing. And the girl replied, "I am drawing God." The teacher paused and said, "No one knows what God looks like." And without looking up or skipping a beat, the girl said, "We will in a minute." She even laughed. They're only going to get worse from there. I'm just letting you know. Yeah, just wait. Well, today is the most joyful day of the Christian calendar. It's the day that we celebrate the death and the rising from death to life of our Savior, the fulfillment of God's promise of salvation to God's people. But before we get to the empty tomb, we have to go back to the cross. You know, on Friday, Good Friday, we celebrate and remember and observe the death of Jesus. And as the Gospel of Mark tells us, once Jesus died on Good Friday, one of his followers, a man named Joseph of Arimathea, was a powerful guy. He knew Pontius Pilate well enough to be able to walk up to him after Jesus' death and to request the body of Jesus to be buried. So they took Jesus off the cross and wrapped him in a shroud appropriately, prepared him for burial, and Joseph had Jesus buried in his own tomb that was made with considerable expense. And the stone was rolled in front of it to see what Jesus said. Mark tells us that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, one of Jesus' disciples, and Salome, three women, observed this, and they had to rush back home for the Sabbath, and it wasn't just any Sabbath, it was the Passover, the most joyful day for the Jewish people. And I imagine how defeated those three women must have felt. I imagine how lost Jesus' disciples must have felt, because they thought that he was surely the one. He was surely the one that the Israelites had been waiting for centuries, that he was going to be the one to fulfill all the promises of God, that he was going to be the one to bring salvation to all people, as God had promised over and over again. But he died. God. I can't begin to imagine the sense of defeat that they must have felt. The sense of being wrong. The sense of having gotten all wrong. One of my favorite new country singers is a guy named Jason Isbell. I imagine all of you listen to country music, right? And you should if you don't. You can study that along with our recording music. So in this song, it's called 24 Frames. Jason Isbell writes a song about tragedy and loss. 24 frames is exactly how many frames there are in a film reel in 1 second. So 24 frames make up one second. Hazen Isbell says in the refrain of his song, "You thought God was an architect. Now you know he's something like a pipe bomb ready to blow. And everything that you built, it's all for show, goes up in flames in 24 frames." I imagine that in that moment of Jesus' death, all the things that they thought that God had been working on, that God had been building, and attached. Any of you ever felt that way in your life? Have any of you ever felt like you think God is an architect, and if you just follow what God says closely enough, and you go to church and you say your prayers, everything's going to be just fine, and everything's going to work out fine until something happens, and it all blows up, and it doesn't. And it's so easy to walk away from God when those things happen to us, when our life blows up when we didn't plan for it. It's so easy to just give up, to lose hope. But the women didn't that morning. They woke up on the morning after the Sabbath, after the sun had risen. I bet on their Easter day it was snowing. And they brought all the right spices, and they got all the right materials, and they went to the tomb to anoint Jesus, to prepare him for burial, out of their love for him. And even if he wasn't the Messiah that they thought he was going to be, they loved him. But they got there that night, and the stone was rolled away. And inside the tomb, on the spot where Jesus had been laying the night before, there was an angel. In the original language, the word for angel is the same word for messenger. It's actually the same word for message. So the word gospel and angel and good news, they all come from the exact same word. So there's this messenger, dressed in white, sitting where Jesus had died. And he looks at these three women and he says, "What are you doing here? Jesus has been raised, just like he told you." And he doesn't emphasize over and over and over again. But Jesus had said it over and over and over again. But they couldn't hear it. And Jesus says, the angel says to them, "Go and share with everyone what has happened." And in the most fateful verse of this gospel lesson, we hear that the women ran away, terrified. And they said nothing to no one. They said nothing to no one. Sometimes good news is just too hard to believe. Sometimes when we hear good news, we don't want to share it. We don't want to believe it. We don't want to hold on to it because we just think that it couldn't be that good. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel it's just human nature that whenever we look into the future, we try to plan what's going to come next. We always begin our plans or our hopes and dreams with the worst case scenario. I'll give you an example of how I do that. Every single time I fly an airplane, the minute the plane takes off, I convince it's going to crash. Now, I've flown a lot of planes, and so far they've all landed just fine. But every time I say my prayer, as soon as the plane's about to take off, and I begin to think about all the things I've done in my life at that point, I think, well, it's been a nice run. I can't picture it in my mind. No, we're going to land just fine, wherever the destination is. Everything's going to be okay. Sometimes our human experience makes it so hard to believe that everything's going to be okay. But it's all going to work out. And on this morning, when we hear that message of the angel, "Jesus is not here, he is risen," we are reminded miraculously that God is doing more in our world and in our history and in our lives than we can see. That there's more goodness and more hope and more joy in the resurrection than we can see. You know, sometimes we come to our faith trying to get God to fix something in our lives. We come to God with our agenda or our wish list, all the things we want God to do for us. But I invite you on this Easter morning to remember the Bible, the gospel, that good news is God's being saved from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, walking through the Red Sea into the promised land on the other side. It continues all the way up to Jesus, who promises us that even in death, our path is opened up to eternal life. That's our job this morning. Our one job is to have trust in God, that God's hope for us, that God's future for us is greater than anything that we can ask or imagine. We bear witness to that this morning. We open our hearts a little bit just to trust that God has planned for us something that we cannot even dream of. And then we continue out into the world to share that good news, to share that message of hope, to share that message of what God is doing in our world, even when it seems like all is lost, or in our lives when it seems like all is falling apart. That the future for us is not death. Resurrection. Our job is to hear that this morning and share it with the world. Let's get to work. Happy Easter.